I just want to read one passage tonight, and that's in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27. Matthew 27. In the Black Bibles, that's page 1187. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11. Matthew 27, 11. But Jesus stood before the governor. And the governor questioned him, saying, Art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said to him, Thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priest and the elders, he answered nothing. Then Pilate says to him, Hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him, Not so much as one word, so that the governor wondered exceedingly. Now at the feast the governor was accustomed to release one prisoner to the crowd, whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner named Barabbas. They therefore being gathered together, Pilate said to them, Whom will ye that I release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, who is called Christ? For he knew that they had delivered him up through envy. But as he was sitting on the judgment seat, his wife sent to him, saying, Have thou nothing to do with that righteous man, for I have suffered today many things in a dream because of him. But the chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds that they should beg for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. And the governor answering said to them, Which of the two will ye that I release unto you? And they said, Barabbas. Pilate says to them, What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? They all say, Let him be crucified. And the governor said, What evil then has he done? But they cried more than ever, saying, Let him be crucified. And Pilate, seeing that it availed nothing, but that rather a tumult was arising, having taken water, washed his hands before the crowd, saying, I am guiltless of the blood of this righteous one. See ye to it. And all the people answering said, His blood be on us and on our children. Then he released to them Barabbas. But Jesus, having scourged him, he delivered up that he might be crucified. We're coming up to Easter. Easter is in a week's time, as we know. What an important time that is for Christians. But there are two men in this passage. There are two men in this picture that we have before us tonight. Two very, very different men. Two very different people. And we're meant to see the contrast, the difference between the two people that we have before us. The Lord Jesus Christ, in all his beauty, perfection and grace and love, he had healed the sick. He'd done many, many miracles. He'd done nothing but good all his life. And then we have Barabbas. What a contrast, dear friends. And I'd like to say that ultimately we follow either one or the other. We either follow Barabbas and all that he represents and all that he means in the meaning of what he represents, or we follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Barabbas was a robber. Barabbas was a notable prisoner. It tells us in one of the other passages that he was a murderer. The devil is a murderer. The devil is a liar. He's been a liar from the beginning. Barabbas represents or reminds us of everything that comes from following the devil and being against God. He reminds us of the picture of sin, doesn't he? It's very obvious when you think about what Barabbas was like, that he was a very wicked, bad man. And we're all like that. We're meant to actually see in this passage that we are very like Barabbas. We might think, well, we haven't been a prisoner. We haven't murdered anybody. We haven't been as bad as him. But this is the great contrast between us and the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus is God's Son. The Lord Jesus is perfect. We were reminded that in Sunday school this afternoon, the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ultimately, dear friends, we either follow the Lord Jesus Christ or we follow the devil. We are either in sin, under the power of sin, and under the penalty of death, and under the penalty of death that Barabbas was, or we have been given a new life through our Lord Jesus Christ. And that is what is before us tonight in the gospel. It's Barabbas or Jesus. Notice in the first verse, Jesus stood before the governor. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the majesty of the Lord Jesus of who he was. He had calmed the storm, he had raised the dead, he had commanded sickness to go. The Son of God. He is equal with God. He said that he called God his Father. He's equal with God. And yet he stands before the governor. He stands like a prisoner. He is a prisoner before the governor. And yet he's far greater than the governor, isn't he? He's the governor of the universe. How wonderful that is. If we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, we realize how great he is. The majesty and glory of the Lord Jesus. Every single part of the Bible tells us something about the Lord Jesus. We can see him in the Old Testament. We can see him at creation from the very beginning. He was part of the creation. He by whom the worlds were made. The world was made through him and for him. The beauty and majesty of the Lord Jesus. We can see him very clearly in the Gospels, but we can also see him in a not so easy to see way in the Old Testament. But the Old Testament shows us and prophesies, gives us prophecies of when Jesus would come onto the earth. The Lord Jesus Christ stood before the governor. And the governor says to him, "Are you the King of the Jews?" Yes, he's the King of the Jews. But he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. That's the greatness of who Jesus is. That's the majesty and power that is his. There was a sign above the cross. This is Jesus, the King of the Jews. Pilate put it up there. But he is the King of Kings. He's the rightful King and Lord of the universe. He's King over all. And he should be acknowledged as all. As that. And he was accused. Jesus knew what it was to be accused. Sometimes we might have been accused falsely. Sometimes we might have been accused and we know what it's like. Jesus was falsely accused. We read this afternoon in the Bible, in the reading, when Jesus was falsely accused, they made up lies against him. We might know what that feels like. We might know how painful that is when people lie about us. And against us. But Jesus was falsely accused. But he didn't even answer one word. You know, there's a wonderful prophecy back in the Old Testament. In Isaiah 53. That said, he was led as a lamb to the slaughter. As a sheep is dumb before her shearers. There's no doubt other prophecies. You can perhaps look them up and find them. But Jesus did not answer in his own defense. So many scriptures, so many prophecies were fulfilled in the life of Jesus. I heard a Bible teacher say the other day that, a recording of what he said, there were 300 prophecies in the life of Jesus that were fulfilled. And for every one, he said that there is another seven, for every single one there's another seven that speak about his coming. How many prophecies about Jesus? How many times the Bible has told us things in advance. God knows history in advance. How beautiful. How amazing that is. Nobody else knows history in advance. God knows everything in advance. And we sung in the hymn that night is gathering quickly. That means that we are very close to the time of the end. We are very close to when Jesus will come for his saints, for everyone who has believed in him. So he answered not even one word. Because, dear friends, he knew that he had to go to the cross for you and me. He could have answered in his defence. He could have said it many things. He could have called on 12 legions of angels. He could have escaped the awfulness of what was in front of him. But he chose to go that way for you and for me, in perfect obedience. But he knew full well what it was, the awful horror of what it was that was that lay before him. He knew what was coming upon him, and he was prepared in the greatness of his love for you and me. He was prepared to go that way. That love, dear friend, should touch our hearts. Every time we hear the gospel, that love should touch us once more. Because in the gospel, we have a love which is far greater than anything this world can offer you. Far greater than any person in this world can give you. The greatness of that love which is from the Lord Jesus Christ. It was love that led him to the cross. It was love that took him all the way to Calvary's cross. It was love that held him on the cross. That's the power of divine love, dear friends. Have you received that divine love for yourself? Have you received that love which has the transforming power? It has the power to transform your life. It has the power to transform any life. All who come to the Lord Jesus in repentance and faith can be transformed. He has the power to change even the greatest of sinners. There are so many transforming power, examples of the transforming power of the love of the Lord Jesus, even just in the Gospels. Think of the centurion, the man who had seen many, many prisoners die. And he looked at the cross and said, "Truly this man was Son of God." The criminal, the other malefactor who became a Christian next to Jesus. There are many, many accounts, so many individuals. And we are meant to look at all of these individuals and think, I'm like that as well. I could be changed like that. I can receive that love that they have received. So Jesus didn't answer one word. Now there was a custom. This was something they always used to do. Release one prisoner at the feast. Maybe that was just a traditional thing that they decided they wanted to do. To try to please people, I suppose. And they had a notable prisoner called Barabbas. He was notable not for the good things that he had done. He was notable for how bad a man he was. How much of a wicked sinner he was. A murderer. We are all guilty of breaking the law. Breaking God's commandments. The Ten Commandments show to us how evil, how wicked we are. Thou shalt not lie. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, mind, soul and strength. How much the law shows us up for the fact that we need a saviour. So this man was a notable prisoner. We're meant to identify. We're meant to think that reminds us. That reminds me of myself. We deserve to be punished just like Barabbas deserved to be punished. And what a question Pilate answers. The Pilate is the judge. The judge has the responsibility. It's his job to decide who is guilty. It's his job when a prisoner, someone comes in front of him, it's his job to decide whether that person is guilty or not. But what does he do? He says in verse 17, whom will ye that I release to you? In other words, who do you want me to release? Barabbas or Jesus? The two men we have before us tonight in the gospel are Barabbas and Jesus, dear friends. Who will you put your trust in? Pilate's wife seemed to have an understanding that Jesus was a righteous man. Pilate's wife warned him that Jesus was a righteous man. She may have been a Christian. We don't know. But the chief priests persuaded the crowds that they should beg for Barabbas and destroy Jesus. That, dear friends, is the verdict, is the message of this world that has rejected and cast out Jesus. That is the message of the world of sinners away from God. That is the judgment of this world. That's the end of this world. Because that's what they have decided. The wicked rulers wanted Barabbas, and that they wanted to destroy and kill Jesus. But verse 22 has got a question in it that everyone is to answer. Verse 22, what then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? And the question for us in the gospel tonight, what then shall I do with Jesus? The gospel is preached so that you might trust Jesus, so that you might acknowledge him as your Saviour and Lord, so that you might realise that you have no other hope without him, so that you might realise that you deserve nothing but death and judgment, just like Barabbas deserved, and that we might have turned to him and come to him, come to Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, and put our faith and trust in him. Every true Christian can answer that question with certainty. Every true Christian knows the answer to that question. How wonderful is that? What then shall I do with Jesus, who is called Christ? The answer from a true Christian is, he is my Lord and Saviour. He is my Lord and Saviour in whom I've put my trust, whom I've trusted for free and full forgiveness of sins, and who I've trusted my life with, so that I'm waiting for him one day to come to call me out of this earth. That's the answer of a true Christian. What did the crowd say? They say, let him be crucified. The world has rejected God. The world has rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. As we see more and more things in this world that are wicked and against God, as we see governments going against God's principles, as we see time after time many, many things that are against God's law, against the life that God has given, and against the way in which God has told us to live, we realise that the verdict of the world is, away with Jesus, let him be crucified. The governor said, what evil has he done? But they cried more than ever, let him be crucified. To be a Christian, dear friends, is to go against what the world has said about Jesus. To be a Christian is to say, he's my Lord and Saviour. To trust in him as our Lord and Saviour, and to give him the rightful honour and praise and glory. And they said, Pilate said, he washed his hands and said, I am guiltless of the blood of this righteous one. Pilate was guilty. He could not wash his hands. He could not be guiltless of this. Pilate was guilty of delivering up the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus stood before the governor. One day Pilate and the chief priests and all will stand before the Lord Jesus Christ as the rightful judge of the earth. We're told that in the scriptures, and we had a touch of that this afternoon. One day the Lord Jesus Christ will be the judge of living and dead. He will judge every single person that has lived on this earth. Those that have trusted in him and been washed clean by his blood will be redeemed and will be with him forever in heaven. But he will be the judge, and he will judge every one of those guilty people and every other person who has lived on the earth, including Barabbas. And the people said, his blood be on us, on our children. What an awful thing to say. And Pilate released to them Barabbas, but Jesus, having scourged him, he delivered him up that he might be crucified. Jesus was going on to the cross, dear friends, where he was going to bear the punishment from God on sin. He was going to bear the punishment of a holy and righteous God who hates sin, who is very angry about sin, and who has to judge sin. Sin has to be paid for. Every single thing that we've done wrong has to be paid for. It all has a price. Jesus was going to pay the price for us. Have you put your faith and trust in him? Have you seen him on Calvary's cross in your place? We're shortly going to celebrate Easter, and how wonderful and meaningful it is, the greatness of what the Lord Jesus Christ did in going to the cross for us. But I wanted us to see ourselves like Barabbas. We are like Barabbas, but we can put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy. He alone is King of Kings, not just King of the Jews, but King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And one day, dear friends, he will come. In one of the other gospel passages, and I think it says it in this passage as well, Jesus told the high priest that he would come one day on the clouds of heaven. And so Jesus is coming again very soon. He's coming on the clouds of heaven with his own, in majesty and power. And what joy it is for every true believer to be looking forward to that time when he will come again and claim his own. He is the rightful king. He is the rightful Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And every true Christian is longing for that time when he truly will reign. He will reign over the earth. He will take us to be with himself, and he will reign over the earth. May we have that assurance in our hearts. May we know that we are saved, and saved because he went to the cross on our behalf. And may we look for him to come and live every day for him, to be pleasing to him, for his name's sake.